to John chapter 3. We read from verse 3 to verse 8. Please give your attention to the Word of God. Jesus answered Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who was born of the Spirit." I've been going through the Westminster Shorter Catechism, this very helpful short document that lays out for us what the Bible says. It gives us a question and answer, and it leads us forward so we can have a certainty about the things that the Bible teaches. And I mentioned last week how, after the introductory materials, it said, what are we talking about? We're talking about the point of life, to glorify and enjoy God. After that, after the preliminary questions, we've gone through sort of three main themes. The majestic theme of God the Creator, God who upholds all things, the triune God. Then we went into, you could say, the sad second section, which is our own sinfulness and death and need. And then we went into the third section, which focused on Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And so that's where we've been up through last week, talking about Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and how he is our prophet, our priest, and our king. That is to say, he is our gracious ruler who shows us the truth and makes us acceptable to God. And we talked about what he endured to do this and how he was first humbled and then exalted. We come today to the fourth section, and you might say the final section of this initial part of a catechism that tells us what to believe about God. There's a second half that talks about what duty God requires of us. But this first part, what we are to believe about God, we come now to what you might call as the fourth section of it. And you can see that on the back of your bulletin. The question is, how are we made partakers of the redemption purchased by Christ? That is to say, Jesus said, the Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, many is a promising word, but many is not all. So then that, of course, provokes the question, if he is a ransom for many, how can we be included in that many? Okay, so we've been talking about who Jesus is and what he has accomplished. Now we're going to talk about how does all that stuff that Jesus is and does, how does that help me? And how can we know that it is helping you and me? Because we see that he is a mighty Savior for many, and yet not for all. And so we're turning from what you might call Christology, that is the study of Christ, to something else. Now, what is it? Well, we have it here in this passage. Jesus said, you have to be born again. You didn't give birth to yourself the first time, and you don't give birth to yourself the second time either. That's why he chooses this picture of being born again, to tell us that we need some divine help. So, what is the answer to this? Well, if you take a look here at the answer, again on the back of the bulletin, it says, we are made partakers of the redemption purchased by Christ by the effectual application of it to us by his Holy Spirit. All right, what does that mean? All right, we get to be part of what Jesus did when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. That would be a more regular way of saying it. Effectual is just an old way to say effective. And of it means of that redemption. We need the Holy Spirit to apply that redemption to our hearts. Because you see, Jesus purchased redemption. Without Jesus, we're in a state, it says, of sin and misery. You might say guilt and slavery. We sin because we want to, but we can't stop wanting to. So we're both voluntarily sinning, but we're also slaves of the sin at the same time. And so we have in the Ten Commandments, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of that slavery. Or Jesus, when he walked the earth, said, you know, nobody can plunder a strong man's house until he ties up the strong man. What he meant was the devil is the strong man, and the devil has many in his grasp, but Jesus is stronger, and he ties up the strong man, and he brings people out of the devil's grasp. So Jesus is the one then who purchases redemption. But you might say, well, is that a biblical way to say it? Purchasing redemption. Well, he said the Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. And the ransom is money that is paid to set someone free. Set someone free from a kidnapper. Set someone free from slavery. Set someone free from being a prisoner of war. And to pay a ransom is to pay a price. Jesus himself being the price. And so Paul echoes this language when he says, you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. And Peter echoes it. He says, we were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the imperishable and precious blood of Jesus Christ. So this is a good summary of what Jesus did for us, that he purchased redemption. That is to say, he paid the price so that many would be ransomed and made free. Now again, Jesus speaks of many. And Paul speaks of you, speaking to a church. Peter speaks of we, identifying himself with the church. So how is it that we will be among the many? Again, Jesus said, you must be born again. You could also understand that as born from above. It's probably deliberately chosen to say that the being born a second time must be from the power from above. You're only born again if born from above. Nicodemus objects, and so he says, you must be born of water and the Spirit. And as he goes on to speak about the Spirit, we see the Spirit is the important part there. The water, he speaks of not so much of baptism, but of being cleansed from our sins, which baptism symbolizes and seals to us. But here he's speaking mainly about the Spirit. He goes on, and that's appropriate because the Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit. When God is involved, God is going to be the important one acting. He says, the Spirit, that which is born of the Spirit, is Spirit. The Spirit produces Spirit. As God once breathed life into the dust and made it a living being, so the Spirit produces Spirit. And the Spirit is mysterious and powerful. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but don't know really how it works. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. I've mentioned before, when I was in college, I was an active part of the college Christian Fellowship group. And of course, we ran a table at the beginning of the year. All the student groups were out there. Freshmen, who, if you're interested, sign up here. And so I was leading a small group Bible study, and Kim signed up. She was on the floor just below me. Yes, I would be interested in a small group Bible study. Figured out how to schedule it. I would go around and invite Kim about three times. She's always polite, never came. But after about the third time, right on the dot, most unusually for college students, right on the stroke of 10 o'clock or whenever we started, in comes her roommate with her Bible to plop down on the bed and say, well, I should be coming here now. Well, why is it? It wasn't her that had signed up on the bed, but you never know who the Holy Spirit is working in. The roommate had initially signed up and then said, no, thank you. All right, but then Kathy said, yes, I'm going to be there. I should be here, she says, and she was there every week thereafter. Yes, I know I've prayed for various families in the church in regards to this or that. And some prayers are marvelously answered with a yes, and other prayers are not. Now, what is the difference? I don't think to be questioning my prayers. The Holy Spirit is acting in this one and acting in a different way or not at all in another one. Yes, the Spirit is necessary for our salvation, Jesus here is saying. You must be born from above. You must be born again. You must be born of water and the Spirit, and you don't control the Spirit. Nor do you even really comprehend the Spirit. So what are we to do if we need the Spirit, but we cannot command the Spirit? Well, for that, please turn with me over to John chapter 7. A different college Christian friend, as we were talking about starting a newsletter for the Christian Fellowship, said we should call it Rivers Out of the Belly. I said, Eric, that's really weird. Right? But he was in touch with an older translation of this passage. John 7, 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart," literally belly, "will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now at the end of the gospel, he breathes on the disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So we're no longer in this moment of the Holy Spirit not being given. We are now after Jesus has been glorified and the Spirit has been given. Notice that order. First, Jesus must be glorified, and then the Spirit comes. Jesus went to the Father and received the Holy Spirit and poured it out on his church. Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And so he goes to the Father, he receives the Spirit, pours it out on the church. It is, you could say, the inheritance that he purchased for us. But still, the question is, okay, so what am I supposed to do? And you're not to stay up late until you get tired enough to laugh hysterically and call it a spiritual gift. This is not a genuine receiving of the Spirit, though that also can be part of a college Christian group. Yes, what is it that you are to do? Well, take a look at what he said. He said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." And if that seems too metaphorical for you, look at the next verse. "Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." What we are to do is to go to Jesus and drink. We're to quench our thirst for the truth, for forgiveness, for peace, for comfort, for strength. We're to go to Jesus and find that in him. And as we go to Jesus to drink, we will discover that it is the Holy Spirit that we have received and that is working in our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit that will come, not necessarily with great signs and wonders and blowing of a trumpet, but with repentance and forgiveness. This is the new birth. As we come to Jesus in faith, and we repent, and we forgive, and we stand before God in a whole new way, not striving to achieve our salvation, not burdened in our conscience, but at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We need Jesus. We need what he has accomplished, that he has accomplished salvation. And then we need Jesus to give us the Holy Spirit so that we can be born again to a living hope. And the thing that we are to do is not to get caught up in wondering about how do I go get the Spirit. We're to go to Jesus. So it comes through right here. As he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." You might say the Holy Spirit is what's going through the vine and the branches, or coming from the vine to the branches. So close is the work of Jesus and the Spirit now that it says in 2 Corinthians, "The Lord is the Spirit." Not to confuse the persons, but to say that the way that Jesus now works in the world is through his Holy Spirit. And so in John 14 to 16, Jesus spoke to his apostles, and he said, "I'm about to leave you." He said, "It is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I go away, I will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to you." So how is it that we get in on what Jesus has? Well, there's a deep underlying truth that we need the Holy Spirit. But we're not to let that stop us or make us worry at all. Rather, Jesus calls us to go to him and drink, to go to him and believe. And as we do so, we will discover that it was the Holy Spirit that was working in our hearts. The Holy Spirit that Jesus was already sending to us to draw us to himself. Go to Jesus and drink, and you will receive the Holy Spirit and a changed heart and life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you yourself come by your Spirit and dwell within us. And so help us, Lord, as we think about the work of the Holy Spirit in these upcoming weeks. Help us to do so, thanking you for your grace and your mercy. Help us to do so with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and salvation, the author of our salvation. And help us, Lord, to be walking by your Spirit, not quenching the Spirit, but responding to your promptings to pray, your promptings to forgive, your promptings to repent. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.